Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, in conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I have part two of my conversation with Jalen Suggs, a two-way standout athlete from Minnehaha Academy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to dig deep into his unique perspective on the recruiting process, his mindset in big games, and how he does not want sports to define him. I love lists and rankings. I often chime in with comments when a friend on Facebook or a follower on Twitter posts one. They're terrific conversation starters. But I've always been troubled by rankings of young athletes, especially because they seemingly get younger and younger. For instance, how credibly can an adult rank the top 10 sixth grade basketball players in the nation? I mean, are we to believe that they've watched enough players to come to any reasonable conclusions? There are so many cautionary tales of young athletes who never fulfill the immense expectations cast upon them. And consider the untold damage done to a child. A child who maybe excelled because they were bigger and faster before their athleticism plateaued. I often think about Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in NFL history, saying that he hopes his own kids are, quote, late bloomers. That to me reinforces how special Jalen Suggs is because he and his parents have managed all the pressure and forged a path that worked for their family. Above all though, Jalen works as hard on who he is off the court as he does on the court. Let's get to part two of my conversation with Jalen Suggs. You made your commitment to Gonzaga, but how have you felt about that whole process?
At first, it was a lot of fun. I got to talk to a lot of coaches, meet a lot of new people, pick up a lot of knowledge. I think that was one of my favorite pieces, was I got to learn from a lot of, you know, from a lot of great basketball minds. As it went on, it kind of got tiring and got tough to deal with. I think everyone who goes through the process would say the same thing, that at a certain point, I mean, you kind of just want to get away from it all and just get a break. But, I mean, when Gonzaga came in, they came in kind of late, my summer of my junior year, my last AAU season right before then. And when they came in, instantly I fell in love with them. You know, after my conversations with Coach B. Mike and Coach Few, I knew that was the spot for me. And when I went down and took a visit, it just reassured me. You know, I went in there looking for negatives or something that I could come away with that I just didn't like. And I told my mom on the plane ride back home while we were sitting down, I said, Mom, I couldn't find anything. You know, it was, I don't like to say a lot of things are perfect, but it was perfect. So, I think it's an extension of home. It's an extension of the Minnehaha Academy community.
What's something you would change about the recruiting process, having been such a heavily recruited athlete?
Just to give the kids more of a break. To contact them when they do is good. But, I mean, then they can just contact them for a really long time on until kind of a dead period. But then they can still call you. So, I mean, that gets kind of hard. So I think just to break it down in months, you know, where you can call in between these months, you know, and then outside of these months, you know, you kind of just got to let these kids be kids and learn and think. And, I mean, if they want to call you, great. You know, if they want to have a conversation with you, that's fine. But, I mean, for sometimes, you know, you just have call from school after school after school.
People obviously know you because of your basketball skills, but what's something else about yourself that you're really proud of that maybe people wouldn't know?
One thing that not many people know about me is my Spanish. You know, I've actually started speaking Spanish a lot more. It's, you know, almost everybody I speak or, you know, just casually I'll break it out, you know, a couple sentences. But, I mean, it's just something that I've started to embrace. I don't want to say I was embarrassed of it, but it was just something I was a bit shy, you know, shy to use at first. But, I mean, just realizing all the opportunities that it can open up and, you know, the amount of people and things that, you know, it can lead me to. It's really just opened my eyes to it, and I really found another love for it. So that's something that I want to continue to focus on and build upon, and as I go throughout my journey, because it could really open a lot of doors.
You've got a massive social media presence, but what's your approach to social media? Because a lot of young people struggle with how to manage it and maybe posting things they shouldn't, but you've done such a good job with that. What's your approach to social media, Jalen?
I'd say do not post anything while you're emotional. You know, wait, think, give it a day, couple hours, you know, until you've calmed down.
I saw that, Terry.
And then post whatever. You know, if you're still feeling it, okay, I mean, go for it. But I think a lot of times, you know, when the bad stuff gets posted, it's out of, you know, a reaction, an instant reaction, you know, while someone is still mad or hurt or upset. And I think a lot of the time that's what causes the problem. So that's one piece of the, well, that's one thing I'd say about social media. And the other one is just make sure you manage your time that you're on it. Because you really don't need to sit on social media all day. I mean, I think people are truly, I've started to see it. People are losing communication skills and, you know, the ability to actually sit and have a conversation about something and look somebody in the eye and talk to them. Just to put your phone down, you know, go talk to somebody, go hang out with somebody. But social media doesn't need to be something that you need to survive.
You've been in so many high-profile games. I was at the Sierra Canyon game. I mean, that's rare to have so many people at a high school game. How do you deal with all the pressure? I mean, state title games for basketball, football. Do you feel that pressure, Jalen, or how do you manage that?
I don't feel pressure at all. I don't think, honestly, since I've started playing the sport, I don't ever think that I've been nervous, felt pressured by anything. I felt overwhelmed that time just because I need a break, but not pressure. I think Damian Lillard said it best. You know, I saw a quote of his and it said, you know, the pressure is more on moms and dads and parents, you know, who have to provide for their children and go to work every day, you know, put food on the table, pay the bills. You know, they got all the pressure, you know, because without them doing any of that stuff, it would make, you know, the job of, you know, myself 10 times harder. So, again, I've never felt any pressure or anything like that. I just go out and I play a sport that I love to play, you know, that I put a lot of time and effort into. So,
just speaking to these kids who look up to Jalen Suggs, what would you want to tell them?
No matter what, you're in control, whether that be in control of your emotions, in control of your dreams, in control of what you want to do. Don't let anybody come in and tell you what to do. Just continue to be yourself each and every day. If they don't like it, then they obviously don't belong in your life. Just to follow the plan that God has for you, and you'll be okay.
What's something you appreciated about your parents' role in your athletic journey?
How supportive they were. You know, whatever decision I wanted to make, you know, they didn't always make me wake up and go work out at 6:30 a.m. You know, I was never, you know, I didn't have to go to the gym, you know, and stay till 12 o'clock, 12:30. You know, they let me be a kid, and I think that was really important, because I'm not saying for everybody, but you know, for a lot of athletes, you know, going from 4 to 5 years old, all the way until, you know, you're done with your NBA career, you know, to be putting in constant work every single day, all day, and, you know, all the focus is basketball or football or baseball, whatever, hockey, whatever your sport is, for that to be all that you do and all that you think about, I don't think that's healthy. You know, that's not good. You need to learn, develop, you know, experience things so that you can grow as a person, because you're a person at the end of the day. You know, Sports is a piece of you, but it's not who you are. So I think that's the one thing that I was most grateful for, is that they let me be a kid, you know, and supported me in everything that I do.
You've seen a lot of parents. You have friends, and you've seen their parents. What would be a message that you have for youth sports parents out there?
That would be another one of the messages. So just let your kids be kids at time, and, you know, if they want to go try something new or, you know, do something other than what you would like. I mean, just let them go do it or try it. Because, again, those experiences, you know, are necessary for especially young kids, you know, to learn and figure out what they want in life. It's not your life. You know, as much as you want them to live out your dreams, you know, it's not possible.
Your favorite team. You can only pick one. What's your favorite team?
favorite team just as a fan in general is the Baltimore Ravens. I've been a Baltimore Ravens fan since I could watch and understand what football was.
Dream vacation.
A cruise to Cabo. Just through the ocean, and take a little cruise to an island.
Your prized possession. Something. If there's a fire, you are going to go grab this.
This is going to sound so bad because there's probably some things that I should grab over this. But I love my PlayStation. My PlayStation is my go-to. You know, if I don't have my PlayStation, I'm kind of hurting. So I'm going to go with my PS4.
Coolest gift you've ever received?
Christmas morning, my ninth grade year. It was after I won the U16 World Cup. My jerseys were gone. I had no idea where my jerseys were at. You know, and there was the biggest gift that we have ever had at my grandma's house. We did it last, and I opened it up, and you know, both my jerseys were framed in there, you know, with a medal in the middle. And I mean, that right there was just like, that was the first time that I've had a real big, true testament of all my hard work. And so I think that was my coolest gift.
Favorite meal?
Favorite meal would be my aunt's mac and cheese with some steak.
Favorite cartoon or kids movie?
Simple, but I mean, it's the world's greatest. SpongeBob has to be my favorite cartoon. And you said favorite kids movie? I'm going to just go with my favorite movie because I don't know my favorite kids movie. My favorite movie is Stomp the Yard.
Well, Jalen, thank you so much for joining me, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.